Ever since I left this building last Sunday, the Lord's been speaking to me that he wants some time with us. So there was an encounter with God today, and Diane picked it up, shared it with the rest of us. We entered in. That's just the beginning of what he wants to do today. So I'm going to give some time for that today. In the context of what we've been doing in teaching, we're on this series called Road Trip with Jesus, which is a section of scripture out of Luke where he's in this area of Israel called the Galilee, and he's just doing stuff everywhere, and he's running into problems, encountering difficult situations. But the whole idea behind this series is, what would you learn if you were with Jesus? What would you learn if you were walking with him and he was doing ministry? So far in our journey, we're in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. So far, the disciples have done nothing but just watch and then get a little bit freaked out when he did some amazing miracles. But it's one of the most difficult things to grasp, I think, is what would it be like if Jesus was with us? What would we learn? What would we feel? What would we be challenged by? And I just love what's going on in the room today, because the Lord is just saying to me anyway, I got this. I'm here. I am going to express myself to people in the room in a way that makes sense to them, that's real to them. And so as we look at this section of scripture that we're in right now, and we're just going verse by verse through the whole thing, it was just too big a chunk to handle today. And so I'm just going to take the first two verses of Luke 7. We're just going to look at the first two verses, and then we're going to talk about there's three different scenarios in the Bible. One of them in Matthew and Mark, one in Luke that we're in today, and then one in John, all where Jesus is being anointed by women. And they're all different. A lot of people get them confused and think that there was just one woman who anointed Jesus. And it just, somehow the gospel writers just got confused a little bit. But it's really not true, and I just want to go through that today really quickly. And then we're just going to see, because the sense I have is, well, first of all three of these women came to Jesus with great expectation of what he was going to do. And you'll see how that works itself out. I want to come with expectation today, and I want to come into his presence and just see what he wants to do, see how he wants to encounter us today. Because we can fill up a couple hours easily, but the Lord wants to fill some time. The Holy Spirit wants a little bit of time today. So the text is chapter 7, verses 36 and 37. This is what it says. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. You probably know that this is not like because he just wants to meet Jesus and spend time with him. This is not what's going on here. The Pharisee wanted to trap Jesus. He wanted to, and so he invited him into his home because he'd been in a controlled environment, and he could kind of control how things went that night. And anyway, he invited Jesus to dinner with him. So Jesus went to his house and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. So she came with something. She came expecting something. She didn't come empty-handed. Then she knelt behind him at his feet weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. She kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. So this is what happened. Jesus is invited to this meal at this Pharisee's house. What happens is the main parties are at a short table, and the food is on the table. And so they would come in and they would sit at the table, and their feet would be facing away from the table. And they would sit there and they would just talk. Well, whenever a rabbi was in town, the people from the whole area would gather around to hear what the rabbi was saying. So some people are a little thrown off by, why is this immoral woman there? what she doing in that environment. And it would be perfectly normal for anyone in the city to come that wanted to hear the rabbi speak. And so Jesus is at the table. His feet are facing away from the table. She's standing behind Jesus. And whatever Jesus is sharing causes her to just begin to weep. She's standing in front of Jesus, weeping. The tears are falling down on his feet. She realizes what's happening, and she bends down and wipes his feet with her hair. And then she puts perfume on them, real expensive perfume on his feet. So the rest of the story, what we'll talk about next week, is what happens after that, how Jesus explains what's going on. But it's an amazingly dramatic picture that we're seeing here. And so when Diane had this sense that Elijah had shown up in the room, and there was a response that we had to have to what was happening in the room, it was much like this. This is what, I love the way the Holy Spirit works. Because if you pay attention, you realize that it's not just us that's in this room, but God's in this room. The angels are in this room. I mean, this room is full of the presence of God. And it is all the time the saints are gathered. This is not just a special day. This is a day when we were paying attention. Thank you, Diane, for bringing our attention to what was going on. We're just paying attention today. And so this is the way God works in all the time. It's not like, oh, today's a special day the Lord showed up. He's here all the time with us. It's just so we kind of get caught up in our stuff and we just kind of push forward. So what I've done is there are four reports of Jesus being anointed by women while he was alive on earth. No reports of him being anointed by a man, ever. As you know, culturally, women were not highly respected in that culture. So it's interesting that he was only ever anointed by women. These appear to describe three different cases. When we look close at these three accounts, we find that they're actually three separate events that occurred on separate days in different places by three different women. So I just want this to be really clear to you. It didn't happen one time with one woman and it was described differently. There are three different situations here. The one we're looking at in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 38, is the woman that I just described to you. And she's described as a certain immoral woman from that city. The city's not named, but it's probably in Galilee and probably close to the places we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Then there's some information there. I'm not really going to spend much time. That was just mostly, I put that there so I have a clear understanding of what was happening with this woman. But the interesting thing I thought was that she came in to hear the rabbi and she began to weep at whatever the rabbi was saying. There was a response from this woman. She responded to what Jesus was saying. And her response was that she began to weep and the tears fell on his feet. She wiped them with her hair and then put perfume on them. The second woman is Mary of Bethany. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, that Mary. It's at Lazarus's house probably. Well, it's not really explicit. That's in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And in this situation, in the first situation, the immoral woman came with a bottle of perfume, very expensive perfume, that most people think that she was a prostitute, and it probably came from the proceeds of her prostitution, which none of us would ever allow in church. You know, something to come, oh, look where that came from, that's not good. You know, apparently Jesus could deal with it. And so she came with a very expensive bottle of perfume. Mary of Bethany anointed his feet with ointment of pure nard, which is, again, very expensive. It's more of a emulsion. It's not so much a liquid that you pour out. And so she came and she bowed at Jesus' feet and she begins anointing his feet with this emulsion. And you remember what happens in this story. The disciples freak out. Like, she's wasting. We know Mary. We know how expensive this pure nard is. She's wasting this. This could have been spent on the poor. This is like the arrogance sometimes of the church and how we view the most precious, priceless things. I think, you know, you could say that She's wasting perfume. I think some of you by the end of today will think, we just wasted time here. What was the teaching? What I came here to be fed. If that's what you came for today, you're going to get much more than fed. You're going to have an encounter with God. That's a good deal. That's a really good deal. So she came expecting. She came with this nard. She came and she put it on Jesus' feet. The third woman is that I just called the woman with the extravagant gift is in Matthew 26 and Mark 14. And she's an unnamed woman. She came to the house of Simon the leper. So the first woman came to a Pharisee's house. The second woman came to Lazarus's house. And the third woman came to Simon the leper's house. So they're very distinct. These are three distinctly different events. And she anointed Jesus' head with very expensive perfume. she basically stood next to Jesus and poured out perfume on his head. And I remember once we were at a men's retreat at the beach. And we were anointing with oil, and a couple of the ladies from Evangel had come over there to the men's retreat to anoint the guys. And it was an amazing experience because they came with half-gallon jugs of Wesson oil. And it wasn't like anointing. It was like glug, 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 glug anointing. And Mike Greeley had long hair down to about here, and they just poured this oil over Mike's head, and he was just, it was running down. I mean, the whole, Psalm 133, that it became a reality at that men's retreat. It just was dripping off of him. Took him a couple days to get all the oil out of his hair. Some people pay a lot of money for that kind of treatment nowadays, but back then it was disturbing how much oil he was getting drenched with. Well, it was kind of like that. I mean, it wasn't that way, but they were taking very expensive oil and just pouring it on Jesus' head. So in the first one, she wept on his feet, wiped his feet with her hair, then put perfume on them. The second one was Mary of Bethany wiping his feet with pure nard, and the third one was pouring it onto Jesus' head. All three of them, all very different. All of them came with oil. All of them came with perfume, some kind of very expensive thing. They all came with something. And I want you to know that no matter who you are or where you're at today, you came here with something today. But you could have come with much more. And the more that we come with isn't money, it isn't perfume, but it's our expectation that we're going to be in the presence of the King. What we bring with us. We bring that expectation with us. So anytime who we're gathering around is the King. And we can come that way. I mean, I think many of us do a lot of times. And I am so glad you let me come to church with you because I like you. I like the way you do life. I like the way that you engage with Jesus. I like the way that you sing, but not just sing songs, but minister through song. Individually, it's not just what happens here up here on stage. I love the way that it's real for you. And you really don't know that unless you get out a little bit. Most people who are Christians only go to one church at a time. For 24 years, I had the privilege of going to, when we met in the evenings, I went to churches all over the place, from Portland to Seattle on Sundays, and then came back here and did church at 5 o'clock a Sunday night. I got out a lot, saw a lot of churches, was with a lot of groups of Christians, and I love being here. I would come here even if I didn't get paid. I would come to this place, because this is a good church. I mean, this is a good place. These are good people. You're full of flaws. I mean, it's not about being perfect. Thank you very much. Yeah, you're people. But there's a high level of expectation that it isn't just about gathering the saints together, but it's about expecting to be with Jesus when you gather together. Yesterday at the home blessing that we did at Rick and Lisa's, I was, as I sat back and listened to people share what they'd heard from the Lord during the time when they were there. What we do is we gather at somebody's house. The whole point is we gather there and just pray through the house in hopes that we get a sense of what God's doing there. And if there's anything that needs to be change. We try to change the atmosphere through prayer in the house. But you pick up things about the people and where you're at and what God's given them and what's he's prepared for them in the future. And it was amazing listening to different people. And Patrick had this as vision as he went into the backyard and sat out there, and there were people who had been falling, tearing their clothes and falling down to the ground, and there were lions around the property. And like, you'd think that was kind of random, but it meant a lot to the Pingles. It meant something to them. Tammy had this picture of, in their room where they spent a lot of time in prayer, this swirling happening. That also meant something to them. There were a lot of different things that people said, and I love your expectation. I think that there can be more. I think we can have more. I don't think this is as good as it gets. I think we're growing. That's what Deep Roots is about. If you come tonight, it's about going deeper with God. Not deeper in the room, but deeper personally with him. And so you'll have an opportunity to spend more time with him. So there's three different settings with three different groups of people. Matthew and Mark write about the same story. But there's one more. Actually, there's four times when Jesus was going to be anointed. The fourth one didn't happen. Remember why? Remember when Jesus was going to be anointed by the women at the tomb? And what happened? They couldn't do it. Why? He was gone. There's some crazy expectations attached to this Lord of ours. I mean, they came ready to anoint him, and he's just gone. And imagine how they must have felt. We came ready to anoint the king, and the king has left the building. I mean, it's just like, it's so cool. But the point is this. There's always more. I ran across this. If you're in Proverbs, reading every day, where are you at today? Proverbs what? 3. Because it's the third. It's really, this is high level stuff here, you know. There's 31 Proverbs. You can read a Proverbs a day. I've been doing that for years. And today is Proverbs 3. And listen to verses 9 and 10 in the Passion Translation in the context of what I've been sharing. Glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your very best. With every increase that comes to you, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. Let me read that again. Glorify God with all your wealth. We're not talking about money here. We're talking about what you bring into his presence. Glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. That's where we're at right now. That's whatever you've brought the most you can bring. So I want us to start off here. Just close your eyes. I'm going to ask the Lord to love you. You know what it's like to be loved. But this is a love that most of us don't ever get from a human being. Because this is a love that's pure. A love that has no strings attached. He loves because he is the lover of our souls. He loves because that's who he is. He is love. So it's just natural for Jesus. If his presence is here, he's going to love us with all of his heart. And he's going to love you with whatever you brought today. And he's going to love whatever you brought today. Some of you are here. Some of you are here for the first time. Some of you haven't been here for a while. And I don't want that to stand in the way. So I'm going to pray that the Lord will remove every hindrance to his love right now. Everything that stands in the way, all the little things like, what about this, Lord? What about this? I don't know if I'm here. I don't know if I do. You know what my life is like, Lord. None of that matters. Just receive his love right now. Receive his love. Close your eyes and let him love you. His love's real, right? I guarantee you, no matter how hard that was for you, it was a lot harder for me than you. Because I'm standing in front of you. I can't get you out of my head. I can't get what's coming up out of my head. It's just hard because we're so agenda-driven and we're so performance-driven and we so don't think that we're worth loving most of the time. We want to get all of our stuff cleaned up, and he's just not that way. That's just not the way he does things. So he's here for a reason, and I just noticed that Jerry's wrist is wrapped. So he probably has something wrong with his wrist, either that or he just likes attention. But he's probably got something wrong with his wrist. So there's that, because you can see it. There's that. There's marriages. If couples are sitting together, there's probably something he wants to do in marriages. You know, some of you are really, you have kind of a sad look on your face. And he probably wants to, you can see things, you know. Some of you are a little bit undone right now. And so you're already, it's not like we're not waiting for God to do something. He's already doing something. You know, it happened in the midst of worship. It happened when Mike was sharing what he shared up here. Cool, huh? I mean, that was just, you could see his heart break for those who were carrying shame around. So there's some things that you can tell that don't take a lot of discernment, but there's some things that are hidden that he wants us to discover today. So there may be some of you who have words of knowledge right now, and the Lord's just been speaking to you. Come on up, and you can be part of this up here. Just come on up if you've been getting a word of knowledge. And what that means is you have this sense of what God's about to do, what he's doing, what he wants to do. Just come on up with me. Now. Cool, come on up. I just want to... A couple of you who are getting a sense of what God wants to do, because the Holy Spirit's releasing words of knowledge. I don't know your name.
My name's Jewel.
Hi,
nice
Jewel.
To meet you.
Welcome. Anybody else? Come on up. Because I know that he's speaking some things that he wants to do. So, what's he saying? Not. Don't tell me. Come on up. Cool. Be bold. I'm not worried about being up here alone. I'm always up here alone. So that's not the problem. I just want to hear what the Lord is doing, what he's saying, how he's communicating to us, because he's going to do some ministry. He's going to minister to some people. And a lot of times he gives hints as to what he's going to do. Because he wants our faith to rise. Right? I'm not in a hurry either. It's one of the few times I'm not behind. So. Lisa, you want to come? Yeah. Because it's obvious that there's something going on between her and God. There's nothing wrong. I'm not picking on her. Anybody else? So I've got it. Okay, thank you. You guys are putting so much pressure. Anyone else? Going, gone. Okay, so if Cindy, why don't you start? And if you could just, whatever the Lord's saying to you about what he wants to do here.
Well, immediately when I closed my eyes, I saw, and I didn't know if it was just my heart because of my own brokenness or if it was many hearts, but... So I asked the Lord, and I felt like it was for others in the room. It was as though the Lord was performing CPR only on an open heart. Wow. In his hand. And he was just giving back, restoring the brokenness.
Okay, so a word of knowledge would say, this is what he wants to do. And some of you may feel like your heart is pounding in your chest. Anybody like that? Anybody?
I heard that too.
You heard the same thing? Oh, that heartbeat, drum beat? Yeah, yeah. Is there anybody that feels like he's after your heart today? You're safe. Nothing weird. Rick? Anybody else? Cool. Jewel, what are you sensing from the Lord?
Okay. So when he was talking about women today, there's just been a real burden on my heart for women. And I just felt like what God wanted to really encourage you is that for you to know how intensely, passionately, devotedly he's loving you. I really feel strongly that there is a season coming for women, and we have, like these women that anointed Jesus, we have this anointing on our lives, you know, and just like women have been kept down for so long, and I don't want to make this just about women, but I want to say to my sisters, you know, that God has called you, and he has chosen you, and you are his. And he's walked with you through the waters and through the fires. And he has, in everything that you've done, in all the brokenness and all the unhingedness and all the craziness, he has been with you. And the labels that people put on you, they're lies. Because you are his son in female form. You are amazing. You are loved more than you could ever comprehend. You are loved more than you could ever envision. And he is going to come to you, and he is going to give you love that he has for you, so that you can love yourself, so that when you go and stand in that bathroom mirror and you're putting your makeup on and you're avoiding your eyes because you're avoiding your soul and you're avoiding relationship with yourself, he's going to enable you to look into your eyes and see him and to go deeper and see you, because, see, he created you individually. You might be married, you might be with somebody, but you're still you. You're your own person. He wants you to know that. There is no shame in what you have done in your life ever. It's gone. The blood has washed you completely clean, and you are pure and holy, and all the trauma and all the drama and all the abuse and everything that you've gone through, it serves his purpose now.
So anybody want to boldly say, I can feel that? I can sense that the Lord's after that in me? Five? Six people? Cool. As Jewel was saying, sharing this, my eye starts twitching. And what I sense the Lord wants to do is he wants to heal some people's vision today. And yeah. you've been after a healing in your vision, and the Lord wants to do that today. He wants to minister to you today.
I was just going to say that Jewel is here for a reason today. She serves at YWAM with YWAM, has been in Hawaii for how many years?
Oh, we were just there for a short time.
A short time. Anyway, so I just, that was one word the Lord gave me, is I brought a Jewel to you today.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. We've had those before. That's how Rogers got here. He was a gift. And apparently this is a jewel.
So I'm sensing a couple things. And I got a sense of this over at the Pingles house. That the Lord is breaking containment. He's busting boxes.
Yeah.
He's busting out of his box, and he will break our boxes. And what I saw for the Pingles house is just openness, like blue sky openness, and that's how I sense that the Lord is just opening up for us the opportunity to get rid of the stuff that holds us and contains us and wraps us and restricts us, but to step into the fullness of that open sky, of that openness, that unrestricted. I really just saw a breaking of limits and unrestricted. Freedom would be probably one word that would describe it.
Very cool.
And so,
yeah.
That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Can I do one other thing?
Yeah. Has any of you been sensing the Lord's going to break the
restrictions off your life.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So what he's saying through Jim is, I'm here today to do that. Well, the thing you've been longing for, I'm here today to do that. Go ahead, Jim.
The second thing is the word that Diane gave in our response about the burning coals. There's that whole thing of sewing into it, and I don't really understand it all, other than I know that I'm supposed to. So I'm just going to throw down some money, and if that makes sense to you guys, then come and enjoy.
That's cool.
So what he's the money is just a symbol of sewing in to that word, and you can do that anytime you want to. It's just a way for you to engage with God at a level that is active and not passive. And so that's kind of what that's all about. And it happens every once in a while. Last night, Don had a dream, and I'm not going to go into it deep, the whole thing, but what he felt like God was saying to him was that, this is what he wrote this morning. He said, I feel that we need to tear down everything that limits God's access to us. Let's throw our doors open wide to whatever God wants to do and not limit his access to our lives. And so that might be something the Lord gave Don a dream last night.
Yes, that's you.
Wake up, Rick. Jesus.
Did you have something you wanted to say? So anyway, Don's dream last night had to do with opening the doors wide. The door that was in his dream was too small. It couldn't fit what God wanted to do. And so the word was opening the doors wide. Is there somebody that senses that he wants to open the doors for you wider? That's what you've been crying out for. Just raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Now?
Sorry, for those of you who know me, you know I'm not a touchy-feely person. And so I get really, I'm just wrecked. I had a vision when I walked in the room today. And I saw Jody Hoover on the floor. In a foreign nation, sobbing her guts up for the loss and the oppression that they were under. And I saw her just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And then I saw an hourglass and it turned over, and the sands of time started to go through the hourglass. And I heard the Lord say, the Ancient of Days is on the throne. And right after I heard that, Diane saw Elisha come into the room in a chariot with coals of fire. And I was just broken at seeing Jody sob her guts up over the lost and the oppressed. And I felt like the Lord was giving us an invitation to really engage in his heart from the very beginning of time as the Ancient of Days. And how he really feels over those who are lost and broken and oppressed. And it's an invitation. It's a true invitation to enter in to the travail of the Lord. I had no idea that as I was seeing all of that, that Jeff was going to talk about the women who would weep at the Lord's feet. And that's the first thing I saw when I walked in the room was a woman weeping on the floor. And I just tell you today that the Lord has orchestrated a clear picture of what his heart is for this hour. He loves the lost so much. He loves the oppressed and he wants them free. And our agreement to join him in that place of intercession is an honor and a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to pour out your heart at his feet and to agree with his heart. So, Lord, I just ask right now that you would touch those with those coals of fire. Mm-hmm. Lord, that you would touch them. Lord, I ask for those coals of fire to not only touch their lips, that they'd recognize there were people of unclean lips and that they would see the King of Glory. Oh, Lord. But I ask right now that you would release a spirit of travail, fresh and new, that truly your kingdom would come on this earth and that people's lives would be transformed because somebody would care, because somebody would agree with your heart. Someone would stand between the porch and the altar and they'd weep. You're so good, Lord.
Do you think mercy was part of that too?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
The thing got up and said first was a real humility to this season. I don't see much humility, you know, outside of you guys' hearts.
I know that what I saw was the Lord traveling through time and taking every time that someone would be allowed, that they would allow themselves to be in a place of humility, in a place of agreement, to truly gain the Lord's heart for a people. And I saw him starting to pour out the answers from the bowls of heaven, from all those tears that had been collected for a people group. This is unto the harvest. This is unto giving the King what he deserves.
Awesome. So let's just stand. If that's something you want right now, just stand up where you're at. We'll pray for you. I'm standing. Good thing we're not having people pray for us. I got NBA left. And just hold your hands out in front of you like you're receiving a gift from someone. Close your eyes. When Isaiah, when the angel came and touched his lips, Isaiah was talking to the Lord about, if you want to send somebody, I'll go. So there's a release to go someplace that you're not right now. It could be Africa, but it could be Kelso. It could be outside of your home. One of the words that Rogers had for us was, you need to know your neighbors. Why don't you know your neighbors? That's where it starts. So, Lord, come, touch us. Touch us right where we're at. Touch us with that coal that removes the barrier that keeps us from going with you. Yes. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. So I want to let's pray for all the women. that want to break loose. You want to be free to do what God's called you to do. You feel like you've got somewhat, you've been somewhat bound. Anybody, any of you women that want that, stand up. And if you feel like you're already free and you don't need that, then go lay hands on one of these people. No guys, though, just the women. Just women laying hands on them. You guys, men, you can just sit there and intercede if you want to. You can reach out and put your hand up. What would it be like if every single woman in this room was released? Yes. What would it be like? How would it change this city if these 20 or so women who are standing were set free? What would change in the church? What would change in the culture if they were set free? I want you to get God's heart for this. His heart for this. They're jewels that he wants to scatter. He wants to set them free. So, Lord, we pray for a release now. Anything that binds them, let it fall off. Break the chains, Lord. Break the chains that bind them. Let them fall off today. Anybody who's standing, you have every right to this. You have every access to this. Nothing is out of your reach. I break the power of this culture over your lives. I break the power of this culture who wants to hold back anything that has a voice, who wants to take the voice away from women. I break the power of that over your life. And in Jesus' name, I pray for a release into the future. Especially if you feel like your past is holding you back, that's not God's heart today. His heart is that you go into the future, that you move forward into what he has for you. I set you free. In Jesus' name, I set you free to move forward. I repent for any man who's ever said, you'll never do this, because that was a lie. Today, you're doing this. Today, you're moving out. So that makes it a lie. It's not true that you can't do what he's called you to do. It's not true. You're free. The chains fall off. The chains fall off. Freedom, in Jesus' name. Freedom to be who you were created to be rowdy and raucous and loud and active, not timid, not shy, not afraid, but courageous in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, dear. Come on up.
Well, when Jenna was here and Kevin was teaching and Jenna said, you need to step into that. And she said, no, I mean it. You need to step into that. It's an action. And when Jeff said that about the chains falling off, I really felt like it was an action on our part of ladies is shaking the chains off, that there's an action to it behind it, that you need to act upon what he said. And so I don't know what that looks like, but you just need to, okay. So you ladies stand up one more time. I'm sorry. And so stand up one more time. And I really felt that, and so I did myself, is the action of just shaking those chains off. Anything that's been said over you, anything that's been spoken, because words have power, you know. Yeah. And I agree with what Marge is doing right there too. Just brushing it off, brushing whatever it is off that has been slimed upon you, put on you. I don't know what it is, but actively do that. Just shake it off.
Well, Jeff sent me up here, and I wanted to be up here with Tammy anyway because I have this whole thing about shackles that's been my journey to freedom. But just start with the ones around your neck.
Yeah.
Free yourself from the chains around your neck. So start
Amen.
With your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen.
And then it's off of your hands and off of your feet. You just got to shake them off.
Just go
like
for
you
it.
Hear them hitting the ground. Amen.
Yeah.
And I just realized after the word of knowledge section that the thing that kept coming to me was actually fruit from our Bethmore Bible study that just ended, but it's who told you that? And when you start feeling the shame or you start feeling the insufficiencies or I could never do that, you have to stop and ask yourself, who told you that? And sometimes you can place that on a person or maybe a teaching or whatever, but always go back to what he says about you.
Yeah. I was praying with a guy this week, and come on up. You'll do it anyway, but I was praying with a guy this week, and he was telling me about his stuff that he dealt with. I have this problem and this generational thing and I have this problem and this causes me grief. And I'm like, I'm listening to him. I'm thinking exactly what Sandy said. I'm like, who told you these things? Who told you there's anything such thing as a generational curse? I mean, who told you that because your grandma and your mom and had this that you have it? And I realized really clearly there was a lie that was being spoken that needed to be broken. And so we broke that lie, and the next day, a lot of that stuff had lifted off simply because a lie had been exposed.
I actually just read about that last night when I was reading my Bible. I actually read about when they were talking and saying that you've believed in genealogies and the curses that are upon genealogies and stop falling into that false doctrine. And it actually talks about that in the Word, where it tells us not to believe that and tells us to believe in the power of the blood instead. And I read that last night, so I just want to confirm that. And Jeremiah 9:17 is what I heard when I went to sit down. This is what the Lord Almighty says, consider now, call for the wailing women to come, send the most skillful of them. Verse 18 says, let them come quickly and well over us till our eyes overflow with tears and the water streams from our eyelids. And I believe that that's what the Lord was doing today, is he was starting to awaken that. There's a skillfulness when you enter in to travail. When you agree with the Lord's heart, it changes things. And it actually says that we're supposed to train up people to be skilled in travail, because it births. When you're in travail, you birth. And that's what's really happening right now. You need to understand that when you agree with his heart over a people and you will actually engage with where he's going, you will birth their freedom. You will birth all that the Lord paid for them to come into the fullness of his inheritance. And that's, Lord, loose an active people who will engage fully with your heart, who won't stay in the outer court, but will come all the way in. All the way in, they will go past, the outer court. They will go into the holy place, and then they will go into the most holy of holies. Lord, raise up a people, anoint us, Lord God, to be so captured by you and your beauty that nothing that this world says or does would compare to agreeing with what you have right now.
She's praying something you want. Just stand up and receive it. Lord, I take it all. I'll receive it all.
Lord, give us the grace to be totally free from the fear of man. Give us the grace to see what the Father's doing in this hour and do what only he's doing. Give us the grace to walk in that perfect love that casts out all fear. Take us in, Lord. I ask for a true manifestation, Lord, that you would start to allow people to feel you touch their heads, that you would start to allow them to feel warmth come upon them, that you would start to allow them to feel again everything that's been cold. I ask that you would turn up the heat, Lord. Turn up the heat. Turn up the heat, Lord. Yeah. That they physically could feel those coals of fire. Turn up the heat. Amen. Turn it up, Lord. We just agree with your heart to see nations changed in a day. To see this region have a complete atmosphere change. We release the long view over this region. To see her become who she's created to be. To see the beauty all around this region. That this county would be the true refuge you've called her to be. Release your wisdom, Lord. Spirit of revelation. Whoa. We welcome you to hover over us. We welcome you. Whoa. We welcome you, Spirit of revelation. We engage with you, Spirit of revelation. Oh, we welcome the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God into this region, to love this region well, and to see her transformed into beauty. Every place where there's been ashes in this region, Lord, lives that have been destroyed, oh, every place, Lord, we ask for beauty to come. Beauty for those ashes, Lord. We prophesy to those ashes and say, you can live. You can live. And you not only can live, but you can thrive. You are such a good father. You're a very good, good father. Thank you for turning up the heat. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you've been asking the Lord to restore your vision, it could be either be physical or spiritual vision. Stand up and everybody else sit down. And then we're going to pray for these people. That restoration of vision would happen today. If you've been asking the Lord, or it could be just that you want to get rid of your contact or glasses and contacts, you just don't want to be encumbered. It can be as simple as that. If that's what you want, just stand. So all the rest of you, just gather around these people and begin to pray that God would restore their vision. Stand in front of them, not behind them, in front of them, and begin to pray that God would release their vision. Go ahead. You're going to have to move. You can't, unless you can teleport. You need to move to them. And start, anybody who's standing, just start to pray over them. That God would restore their vision. Everybody should have somebody praying for them right now. These guys back here need somebody praying for their vision. Over here, Jerry and Leslie, we need some prayers. Some prayer people. Up here. And then it doesn't take long. God can restore vision quickly. Just pray for him.
Jesus, thank you for watching over there. I just want to thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this time. We trust you. We know you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Natalie. And just go to somebody else and begin to pray. If they're standing there by themselves right now, ask God to restore their vision. Restore their vision. If you've already been prayed for, you can go pray for somebody else. Restore vision, Lord. This is long view for a reason. This is long view for a reason. He wants to restore our vision. He wants to give you a long view. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.